Just a 1 year waiver. COVID-19's really hurting me right now.
Don't have to pay on any of your vehicles that you have in your fleet for 1 year. Palpatine Motors will not allow you to pay for
Palpatine
that.
Palpatine Motors.
Palpatine Motor Company.
Hi, my name's Kevin Scott, the writer of Dooku Jedi Lost and Return to Vader's Castle, and you're listening to Star Wars Highs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of Star Wars Ties. I am your host, Jameson Stout, and with me is the locked up in fellow quarantine, Mr. Lando Fett.
Oh gosh, that was a good intro, and that's very accurate too.
This is our first episode within the COVID-19 quarantine thing, the lockdown era time period, and in all fairness, it is way later than we really wanted to record, but with technical issues earlier in the winter and then the beginning of this whole e-teaching experience that I've had to take on and the whole stay at home with your kids and be a parent and a teacher simultaneously, the amount of time you would think you would have in quarantine with children just dissipates very quickly. So
yeah.
So the ability for us to be able to record and for me to be able to edit and stuff like that, it just has not been a very likely reality. But we are still here, we are still talking Star Wars, and we hope that whenever I finally edit this episode and release it for you, you will be able to enjoy listening about Star Wars wherever you are, probably still in your bathroom or in your house somewhere, wondering why the toilet paper is gone.
Oof.
But anyway, so we have dubbed this mini-series, until further notice, The Quarantine Binge.
I have been every voice
you have ever heard inside your head.
We clones have mixed feelings about the war. Without it, we wouldn't exist.
Bounty hunting is a complicated profession. Don't you agree?
I like it.
So, basically, it's going to be just us kind of talking about what we've been doing or seeing or thinking about as far as relation to Star Wars. And, you know, if we get a chance to actually do a read or something like that, we'll certainly try that. But for starters, we're just going to kind of check in and X-Wing it today. So, Landon, how you doing, man?
Oh, you know, other than being a prisoner in my own home, pretty good. How about you?
I like that. I do remember comparing this to house arrest at one point.
It's like somebody said, you know, it's like being 16 all over again. You got your license, but you're grounded at home.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah, but back in the day, we didn't have cell phones, ladies and gentlemen. So take that into account, too. The ability to call your friends meant you had to actually use the house phone, which means there was no privacy in the conversation.
No. You had to be sneaky and make sure nobody clicked in on you listening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hard to do, too. Your parents are smarter than you think. I'm warning you. At least mine were.
Yeah, mine were, too. I didn't give them enough credit. Now I'm just like, good job, guys. I never would have thought to have done that.
Touche. Hats off to you. You figured this out quicker than I would have. Can you teach me some of your tricks before my kids become teenagers?
Then it'll be all social media and stuff, and I dread that for our kids.
I do too. That's one thing I really hate about this quarantine era is this the amount of screen time that we've had to force on our kids. And
yeah.
I just want them to go outside and play, and I try to spend as much time as I can outside, which is another reason I've not done a lot of Star Wars Ties stuff. You know, I've tried playing baseball with my kids in the front yard, which usually entails my kids hitting the balls off of a tee and me chasing down the balls.
Well, that's always fun.
Yeah, I get my steps in.
There you go. We've been going to the track and trying to learn how to ride a bike without training wheels. So
ooh, yeah.
that's been hard. About three good lessons, and she wrecked really bad the third time and got bruised up. And she's like, nope, I don't want to do it. So we've kind of been on a week rest from that, so her little legs can heal up. Mm-hmm. But.
It takes a little while, but once you get it, we actually, there's a greenway in a nearby town for us that is still open. You can't use any of the playground equipment or anything like that, but it's a mile-long paved walkway. Oh. And we go over there about once a week now because they have, off of the walkway, a bike park with a bunch of, you know, hills and not ramps, but like, you know, carved out pieces of wood to ride your bike over, rocks to give you some off-roading experience, a bunch of, you know, dips and hills and just, you know, it's really neat. And Emmeline just got to the point where she could ride without training wheels probably at the end of the summer last year. And then we kind of, you know, in the winter, it's kind of hard to force her to ride her bike without anything. So she would ride on the porch, but that was about as much as we could get her to do because we just didn't have anywhere to go. But we took her to this greenway once, and we went by the bike trail, and she looked at it and was like, I really want to try it, but I'm scared. You know, I'm not sure if I could do it. And they were like, well, let's come back next week, and let's make that our focus. Let's just give you a chance to try it out, see if you like it. Now, it's like a weekly thing. Can we go to the bike park? Can we go to the bike park? I want to go to the bike park. And, I mean, she's hooked. She loves it. It's to the point, Landon, where I've called my parents going, hey, do I still have a bike? Because I want to ride it. I want to ride on these trails. You know? And, ladies and gentlemen, because I know you're really wondering, the answer is no. I do not still have a bike. If I want one, I'm going to have to go be an adult and buy one. Oh,
I'm sorry. We bought some before Lola was born, before we knew we were pregnant with her, and then we were going to ride them that summer, and then it's like, oh, wait, you're pregnant. Better not ride a bike.
Well, now you can. Afton has one. I do not, and we're apparently going to be getting hers at some point in the near future, somehow, some way, which just makes me even more jealous because that means I'm still not going to have a way to ride my bike with my kid, but oh, well.
You'll get a bike.
I'll get a bike. I'll find
We'll get one. A listener to send you a Star Wars-themed bike.
Oh, no, that'd be awesome. That'd be pretty rocking. I don't know if they make those for adults, though. And I don't need any kiddie bike. Like, I've tried to ride Emmeline's, which is like a 16-inch. I don't know how small it is.
Ooh.
But my knees, nope, it doesn't work. It does not work. I was like, no, this is going to hurt. This is going to be embarrassing. This is going to be bad. I can't do this.
It's like the bear at the circus on the little tiny tricycle. Hello, yeah. Everyone.
Yes, exactly. So to appease my children who still want me to do something on wheels with them, I've been riding my daughter's scooter, Razor scooter. That's pretty awesome, not going to lie. But even that's a little harrowing, considering I have to lean over and a lot of my body weight is leaning forward a little bit. So
I can't ride those. I can't ride those at all. I'm not coordinated enough.
Well, it's difficult, and I had some real trouble this morning. I was taking a break from work for a few minutes, and I was racing my kids on the porch, and the porch was still wet from all the rain we had, and that is not a good idea, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh.
I just about busted my, well, multiple body parts in a lot of different occasions because the wheels would just slide. You know, it was legitimately like almost having an accident in a car where you lose traction. Ooh. I was like, this is not good. I probably shouldn't do this anymore. I was like, girls, you can ride your bikes because those have tread. Do not ride the scooters. But anyway. Well, in all of this wonderful quarantine time, it's actually been since November that we've recorded, and we are now in April, ladies and gentlemen, so it's been quite a while. What have you been up to Star Wars since, you know, November there, Landon?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think of what the last thing I did that was Star Wars since then, you know, other than Rise of Skywalker, which we'll get into that maybe a little bit later.
Yep.
That and Mandalorian, which we're also probably going to get into a little bit later.
Definitely.
Probably, I did pick up a piece of Star Wars merchandise here. Oh, it was probably the end of December, 1st of January. It was the Shadows of the Empire. I got the Boba Fett versus IG-88.
Ooh.
Figure kit with the comic book.
With the comic book, yeah.
It's still sealed up and everything. I've got that. I've got that put up on my wall in my man room, as I call it, my man cave. Mm. That's in a place of prominence. And then I got the speeder bike thug set from that with the speeder vehicle.
Oh, man. Where'd you find that?
I found it on eBay. Guy was selling it for $10.
Oh, that's a steal.
And it was still in the box. The only thing is the guy had cut the UPC off of it and mailed it in for something.
Still, that's awesome.
I've still got it put up on my shelf. I'm like, yep, yeah, people can see the speeder thug, as he's called.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
I just need the Darth Vader and the Xizor or Ixor, however you want to say it, set. Xizor. And I'll have that whole Shadows toy set.
Now, that's awesome. Yeah, you've got a pretty good collection. I don't remember if I have the Darth. I'd have to go back. Some of my Star Wars stuff is down here, and some of my Star Wars stuff is in the attic, unfortunately. So that's one of the things I know is in the attic, because it was packaged, so I knew it would be safe to put in a tub and put up there, as opposed to some of the loose figures that could be damaged because they get, you know, crushed by a book or something like that if I just shoved them in there. But I know those ones with the comic books in the back, those are great. The box art is really pretty. The bubbles are just really neat, and they put them in an action pose already. I mean, it's awesome.
It is, and I know a lot of people say, well, the Shadows of the Empire, I know as far as collectors go, they say it's kind of the easiest, you know, not really worth a whole lot. But I've just really enjoyed collecting those, because it's kind of like going back to my childhood, because I remember seeing those on the shelves and then playing the 64 video game and reading the comics and saying, oh, yeah, that's that guy that I read about, or that's that guy that I, you know, shot in that fight. Yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely, I would say, probably one of the easier things to collect, but it's also, like you said, one of the more fun things to collect, because they really kind of went all out with it.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't make a lot of toys, but the toys and stuff that they made were really cool, and the kind of things that you would want to collect.
Yeah, like the Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia in that set, I love them, because mm-hmm. they're different.
They are. It's unique. And I love the Chewbacca with all the bounty hunter disguise,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. Those are just really neat characters, and it's just a really neat. And the book itself was really cool. I don't think I ever played the N64 game, to be honest, though I probably did rent it from Blockbuster and just don't remember.
It was a good one. I knew it was a
Dark
game.
Forces confused.
Now I think Dark Forces, I want to say it was PC.
It was in 64,
too. Oh, did they make it? I didn't know they made it in 64.
Or maybe PlayStation.
I do remember seeing it for PlayStation, okay, like PlayStation. One time, and I never saw it again, and I wished I had bought it when I saw it that one time.
I checked it out. Like, I rented a lot of those games from Blockbuster. I never owned them. I played them, but I never got the chance to really play them, per se. So, or at least own them and play them anyway. So, well, that's cool. Aside from Rise of Skywalker and what was the other thing? Mandalorian, of course. Of course, we've seen probably some of the Clone Wars, too, with the new season that's been released and is coming near to a close here in the next few weeks. I've seen most of those episodes. I'm not quite caught up, but I'm close. We'll try to talk about all three of those in segments here in the next few minutes. I've read quite a bit. I know that I'm trying to remember the last time we spoke, and I want to say I was raving about the third Thrawn book in the new Thrawn trilogy.
Yes.
Which I still highly recommend and encourage you to do, to read, listeners and Landon. But in addition to that, I have also read a few other books from the new canon. I have read Resistance Reborn by Rebecca Roanhorse, which was a Journey to the Rise of Skywalker book, mostly about Poe. And then I also read Master and Apprentice by Claudia Gray, which is a prequel book focused on Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan. And I was hoping at some point, maybe this year, if you know things work out, we'll be able to interview with Claudia Gray, because she wrote...
That would be awesome.
That was an awesome book. And she did also some really good books on Princess Leia, both young and older Princess Leia. So she's got a lot of good new canon experience that I think would be worth talking to. But with the Resistance Reborn book, it focuses, like I said, mostly on Poe, and it's right after the Battle of Crait, and it's kind of how Poe kind of redeems himself and tries to figure out how he had basically screwed up during Last Jedi and how to move forward from that. So it's a very character-driven story on him and how he kind of learns to cope with himself as he's trying to recruit more help and build, you know, the shambles of the resistance that exist up into something a little bit more real. And it definitely sets the stage for some characters. It gives you a little bit of background on Finn and Rose. It gets you back with Snap Wexley, who I was really big fan of in Force Awakens, and then you didn't really even see him in Last Jedi. But he made his reappearance in Rise of Skywalker, so, you know, it was good to see him again, and of course, course, unfortunately, spoilers, he doesn't make it in Rise of Skywalker, but...
Yeah, I know. I remember seeing that scene in the theater, and I'm like, no, oh. Not him.
Yeah, I know. It hurt
Why?
Me. Yeah, that one broke my heart a little bit, because he was a favorite side character of mine, and still is. And then the Master and Apprentice book, like I said, it's a really good deep dive in the relationship between Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi. When the book starts, they really are not jiving. They do not get along. And it's almost to the point where they're about to split, and Qui-Gon is about to just have him removed as his Padawan. But then over the course of a mission that they're doing in the book, it forces them to reconsider their relationship and how the Master and Apprentice element works for them. And it's a really, it's a really good read. So I highly recommend both of those. They're both new canon books. I've not really jumped into anything old canon. And in all fairness, in the very recent time period, I have not been reading a lot of Star Wars. I'm about to. I've got another Star Wars book sitting on my bookshelf. That's another Journey to the Rise of Skywalker book that I have that I'll probably read here shortly. But I'm at the very end of another book. That has to do with Disney World. So I'm finishing it up first. It's a middle school aged series, but I picked it up because it's kind of a fantasy novel about if the Disney villains tried to take over Disney World.
Oh, that's interesting.
And how Disney would have prepared for it because he knew he'd created good magic and bad magic with each movie. So he recruited his Imagineers to develop an army to help combat the villains. And the way that they do it is they use teenage kids. And they convert the teenage kids into digital holograms. They can interact with the Disney characters and basically try to help defend the Disney franchise.
That's an interesting premise. That sounds kind of neat.
It's called Kingdom Keepers. It's by Ridley Pearson. And the first one is called Disney at Dark, I think. And it's all about how this kid, wakes up. And he thinks he's dreaming, but he's not dreaming, and he ends up being, a hologram in Disney World after hours, and how they start trying to investigate Disney World, and each of the first four books really kind of focus on one of the main parks. So the first book focuses on Magic Kingdom, the second book on Animal Kingdom, the third book I think was Epcot, and the fourth one ended up being Hollywood Studios. So you got to experience each of those and learn kind of secrets behind, how some of that, what I loved about it was because you were learning some of the construction and some of the hidden secrets about Disney through the book, because the author had to know them in order to be able to research and produce the books. So I really got into it. Another reason I was looking forward to it was because I was hoping Star Wars would kind of make an appearance. It has not formally made an appearance yet, but most of these books were written before the Disney acquisition. But he has since written a sequel series that now focuses on Disneyland. And that one has become is a much more recent publication. So I'm hoping that maybe as I finish this first series, because I'm in book 6 now of 7, that I'll be able to kind of jump into the sequel series and maybe get to read a little bit about Star Wars after the Disney acquisition in Disneyland or something. I think that would be kind of cool.
That would be. That's a neat premise, though. I like that.
It is. And I mean, I like reading books aimed at middle school kids because they're quick reads for me. I mean, I know that sounds bad, but it's also something I can tell my kids about, my students. It's like, I really liked this. You might like it too. And I grabbed it purely because I thought, it's about Disney. And at the time, we were going to go to Disney World before all of this quarantine COVID stuff happened. So I was like, this would be neat to kind of get a little bit of a different perspective on the background of Disney and stuff like that. That'd be kind of cool. So I read it just kind of with that particular motive, and now I've kind of really gotten into the series, and it's like, man, this would be a really cool Disney Plus television show or something. They should totally make this a Disney Plus movie. That'd be awesome. So Disney, if you're listening, which I know you're not, but if you ever were, not only should you be, producing all of the really awesome Disney or Star Wars TV shows that you're doing, but you should also seriously consider doing Kingdom Keepers. You'd rock my world. You get my vote of confidence. Well, let's go ahead and jump in.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about The Rise of Skywalker. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I'll save it for our review, but I really enjoyed it.
I did, too. Now, we're not going to do a full review this time. I think I still want to do a roundtable discussion of it.
I do. Yeah, I think that'd be a better idea.
When we can have more people on board with us and stuff like that. But let's just give a, you know, first impressions, and we'll go ahead and throw a spoiler warning out there. Spoiler alert.
Warning. And I do think it is fair to say that we probably need to include a spoiler alert.
Ladies and gentlemen, if we do happen to say something that is a spoiler for you, you know, I'm sorry, but it has been 3-4 months since the movie was released. It's all DVD and Blu-ray and digital copy now, so you have access to it if you really want it. So go watch it if you have not heard it, and then skip ahead maybe 10-15 minutes, and we should be done talking about Rise of Skywalker by then, because we're just going to kind of give a quick overview of our feelings of it and what really kind of stuck out to us that we really liked, and what we were, you know, we could have lived it out or whatever, but that'd be about it. We won't do a deep dive today. But, so, what were your first impressions there, Landon?
First impressions, I liked it a lot better than The Last Jedi. It felt more like a Star Wars movie to me. Like, you know, you go into a Star Wars movie with a certain mindset, like, I'm going to see action, I'm going to see adventure. There's going to be some deeper stuff below the surface of good versus evil. And it had all that going on for it, which I didn't really feel like Last Jedi really connected all those parts and pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like this Rise of Skywalker did. I liked the fact that, you know, it's kind of a time skip at the beginning. You know, it's been a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Rey has continued training, and, you know, you can tell that her training's paid off because, you know, she's running through the forest there, and she's just, like, doing flips and this and that and using her force powers without even thinking. And, you know, just kind of it shows that she's been growing, but at the same time you have Finn and Poe who are out doing missions, and they come back, and you can tell that the characters kind of have more of a confidence at the beginning, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They know who they are. They know what their role is. And they go about, you know, fulfilling their role, even though things don't look, you know, the best for them to win the war, I guess you could say.
Right.
But the cast cohesion too is a lot better in this one. Like Rey, Finn, and Poe, like the first, you know, quarter half of the movie were there together. That was some of my favorite parts of that movie, was the three of them together and interacting, and we hadn't seen that yet.
I know. It's one thing I don't like about the other two movies is that we don't see those three characters interacting, because I really feel like that was gold when I found the chemistry between them was so good.
Yes.
Especially Oscar Isaac and John Boyega. I loved the chemistry between Finn and Poe in this movie.
Yeah, you could tell that, you know, they had been through some things together, and that, you know, they'd kind of forged this friendship, you know, out, you know, doing their missions and everything for the resistance. And they did a real good job kind of portraying that camaraderie with each other.
They did. They did a really good job with it.
I liked that. I liked, you know, sadly, I like C-3PO in this one.
You say sadly?
Sadly, because normally I'm just like, oh, it's just 3PO. He's just there to worry and be a worrywart. But he had a really good role in this movie, and you kind of feel bad for overlooking him like I did all these years.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I like C-3PO in this movie. One of my favorite lines in the movie is, Babu Frick, why, he's one of my oldest friends.
Yeah. I liked Babu. He was cool.
Yeah. It's little things like that, little quips like that. It's just like, you know what? This feels like a Star Wars movie. I had a lot of similar sentiments. It was very much more like the original series to me.
Yes.
There was a lot there. I liked that they brought back Palpatine. I do feel like that is probably one snafu that they have, is that they didn't bring back the main villain, quotes around it, until the final act.
Yeah.
And then they have to basically kill off the main villain in one act. That feels like a little forced. He probably should have been mentioned or discussed or incorporated in some way. Maybe the rumors of his resurgence as early as Force Awakens, so that imminent threat was still there.
Yeah.
I feel like that wasn't planned out quite like it could have been. But again, I'm also thinking along the lines of, you know, J.J. is basically writing a lot of material into one movie.
Yeah, you could have easily had two movies.
Yeah, he's trying to tie up a lot of loose ends between 7 and 8. And, you know, it's he gets a lot of flack for it in this, and he really shouldn't, because he did a really great job tackling the monster that he had to tackle.
I agree. Like, there was, he had to basically write 2 to 2.5 movies worth of material in one movie.
And cut time on it, because apparently he obviously wanted more stuff to be divulged and explored. So, according to lots of rumors flying around on Facebook, which I guess are debatably relevant. But, like you, I really enjoyed the chemistry between the main three. I really liked the quips between Poe and Rey.
Yeah.
I thought those were really good and really kind of sold the story a little bit more and helped us get more familiar with these characters. I really did. I liked this. It was a good movie. The only complaint I had the first time I watched it was the pacing.
Yeah, it's...
You start with... you know, Kylo Ren finding Emperor Palpatine and all that stuff. And there's some discussion and slow build there. But after that, it explodes and it never stops moving.
No. Pedal to the metal the whole way.
Yes. The minute you switch over to Finn, Poe, and Klaus or Claws or whatever, Klaus, whatever the alien's name is. The minute you're in the Millennium Falcon going for the stolen information from the First Order, that's... all right, you've hit the ground running, and man, you better be pacing yourself, because you're going to be exhausted by the end, physically and emotionally. I mean, it's just...
oh, yeah.
It's a roller coaster ride. Bringing back Lando Calrissian was great. I thought that was done very well.
Oh, I love that.
And I think that they played his part very well. I thought they did an excellent job with Leia's character, considering the circumstances they had without Carrie Fisher to actually shoot. I thought they did an awesome job with that. Considering all the obstacles they had to tackle, I really valued and appreciated Rise of Skywalker. And I have seen it recently. We got it, Afton risked the virus to go into Walmart looking for essentials, and while she was there, she grabbed me Rise of Skywalker and a Mandalorian puzzle, which is pretty exciting. So I've already watched Rise of Skywalker since she got it and since it came out on Blu-ray, and I thoroughly enjoyed it again and just loved it. So, ladies and gentlemen, I highly recommend you check out Rise of Skywalker. I mean, those are, again, we were going to go into much deeper dive, but we want to cover some other material today too. Is there anything else you wanted to say about it before we move on?
Just that, you do need to watch it a couple of times, because it, like you said, it does. The story is just super duper fast. It's here, it's there, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you watch it again, you can kind of go back and tie it all together to where it makes, to where it's a little bit more, I guess, sensical.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, no pun intended with the ties, but yeah. It really, the second time I went and watched it in theaters, I appreciated it a whole lot more. I loved it a lot more because I was better able to enjoy it. And I took my father with me the second time, and Dad, he tells me this story quite frequently because I'm such a big Star Wars fan. Dad went to go see the original Star Wars in theaters with his college roommate, because his college roommate was a bigger sci-fi fan than he was, and his college roommate was like, hey, I'm going to be in town. Dad was already teaching at this point, and he was like, I'm going to be in town, so why don't you and I we go see Star Wars in theaters? You know, it'd be fun. And Dad tells me all the time, yeah, I went, within the first week of it coming out, I went and saw the original Star Wars in theaters. It was really good.
Wow.
And when he walked out of Rise of Skywalker, he was like, of all of the new movies, that one felt the most like the old one.
Yeah,
he said, I agree. That one felt the most like the original.
100% agree with that. It did. I don't know. It wasn't preachy. Like, Last Jedi kind of felt a little preachy to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't preachy like it. It was just good versus evil, a few, twists and turns in the story thrown in here and there, and then happy ending. I mean, it's...
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a simple formula, but it works.
It does. I really liked Force Awakens as well, but there were some elements of Force Awakens where I still feel like it was forced because they were trying to do fan service.
Yeah.
And they were trying to make everybody go, yeah, we really like Force Awakens, yeah. And it's not that I don't like Force Awakens. I really think it was a good movie. But there are elements of Rise of Skywalker that I like more than Force Awakens, and one of them is the fact that we see Finn, Poe, and Rey together. And they actually are interacting with each other, and it's not just some supposed random moment of what do we do now? With the first one, you get Poe and Finn together, you get Finn and Rey together, but you don't get all three of them together. And then, with others, it's like, it's just not enough. This one did.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that 100%.
All it did was make me want more, but, I mean, that's what you would expect.
Exactly. I kind of wish we had got those three together, like in the second movie, yes, or even the first movie.
Even at the end of the first, you know, if they'd had a little bit of chances to interact right at the end of the first movie, and then, you know, develop that in the second movie, very much like, you know, Han and Luke and Leia in Empire.
Yes.
Granted, Luke spent a lot of time away from them in Empire, but there was that initial interaction between the three of them, and there was that link that kept them going on even all the way into the third. But anyway, you know, it happens.
Still a good movie to go, or definitely worth checking out.
Oh, yeah. And check out the entire sequel trilogy now that you can watch it together. You know, that's also important. At this point, you can see the entire story, and I think it makes Last Jedi a little bit better just because you now see Last Jedi in the context of the other two movies.
Yeah.
And yes, The Last Jedi is going to be the odd end out, but frankly, so is Empire if you look at it, and so is Attack of the Clones if you look at it. The middle one is always the hardest to write.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to challenge the characters in ways that you wouldn't otherwise do it. And, you know, the first one's introducing them, and the last one's resolving. Well, what about The Mandalorian? Now that we've seen the entire series of the first season of Mandalorian, man, what did you think of The Mandalorian?
That is how a episodic Star Wars TV show should be written, like, for anything. Like, I don't care if you've got Jedis or common soldiers in either the Republic or the Rebel Alliance or the Empire or Republic or clone or droid or whatever. They need to be written like that. It's so good.
I agree. I want to go on record right now and say that the next live-action anything that Disney decides to produce needs to be co-produced by Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni.
I agree with that. And if you watch the last three episodes of Clone Wars that Dave Filoni and George Lucas did together, they tie into The Mandalorian so well.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait. I'm a little behind on those, but I'll get to them. I've been watching them, as I was telling Landon off air. I've been watching them when I run out on the treadmill, which is on rainy days and stuff like that. And I'm a little behind because we haven't had as many rainy days as we do sunny days. And I'm certainly not complaining about that with the quarantine we're having to deal with, but it does pose a problem when you're trying to catch up on your binge watch TV, which this is the quarantine binge. And unfortunately, some of us do have to work full time while being stuck at home full time. And it makes the binging part a whole lot harder. I've got lots of things I want to watch and do, and I just don't have time to do them. This is a luxury right here, you know?
Yes.
So,
but it's anyway, a mental health thing, too, yes, but we'll get into that later.
Yes, this is definitely for my mental health. More than anything, it's an opportunity to have an adult conversation without my wife. Not that she's, you know, terrible or anything like that, just because she and I have talked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
More so than
same with me and my wife.
Which is not a bad thing, but, you know, there's only so much you can say before, I don't even want to talk about Star Wars. Well, I really don't care. All right, well, I guess I won't talk about it with you then.
Don't you want to know about the Siege of Mandalore? Come on.
Come on, it's amazing. Don't you know, like, you watched The Mandalorian with me. Don't you want to know more about Baby Yoda? Well, yeah, kind of. What about the Darksaber and, you know, no. Oh, but that's the cool part, you know?
What about the Moth? What about the Moth? How did he survive?
Oh my gosh. That episode, that season ending was awesome. I mean, again, spoilers, but the Darksaber, Moth Gideon surviving, the whole, you know, the blacksmith chick, like, holding off the stormtroopers and everything like that. The IG-86, or IG-11, was it?
Yeah, IG-11. Oh, he was...
IG-11 sacrificing himself and having to take off Pedro Pascal's helmet. I mean, oh, man, it was just... Everything about it was great.
Finding out that he was a little boy during the Clone Wars was what was really cool, too.
That's true, yeah. Ooh.
And that his village was overrun by the super battle droids and the Mandalorians came and rescued him.
Getting more of his backstory and better understanding, which actually is... Very similar to the backstory of the original Jango Fett.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, where you can tell that they're trying to tie in some of the elements of the old canon, even subtly, and I deeply appreciate that.
I wonder who I call her the clan leader, the one that was in the tunnels, that was the leader of the Mandalorians, that had the forge that could
the blacksmith
do the Beskar. I wonder who she is.
I don't know,
because I've heard theories that people say that that's Sabine Wren, that she left after. The Empire had messed up after freeing Mandalore, she left and something happened, but I don't know how that would tie it. They said that that would be how it ties into Rebels.
Well, there's a lot of speculation flying around the rumor mill right now that Ahsoka will be making her first live-action debut
in... That's what I've heard, too.
...in Mandalorian Season 2, which is interesting because she could theoretically still be alive by then. We don't know.
Well, the Clone Wars ties into that. The last episodes of the Clone Wars, because you find out Ahsoka was on Mandalore during the Siege of Mandalore with the Mandalorians.
Well, you know that also from reading her book. Have you?
That's true, too. I'd heard that, too.
I highly recommend that book, too. That was E.J. Johnson, maybe?
I think you're right. Yeah, I was looking at that just a minute ago because it showed up on a list of my things I might like to read.
It's on Libby.
Is it? Oh, I'm going to have to get that because I've got my Libby pulled up here. I got it back up and working.
I'm pretty sure it's on Libby. I'm 99% sure because I remember looking at it. Yeah, but that one, that gives you the backstory of her experience on the Siege of Mandalore. So I expect to see a lot of the things that were in the prologue to that book in the last episode of Clone Wars, because I'm betting that they'll be exactly the same, which is fine, because that was a really good setup for Ahsoka's yes. character. And what I'm just excited about is the prospect that we're finally going to see a live-action Ahsoka Tano. And then, of course, the minute they announced that, then all of a sudden the rumor mirror exploded. Well, we're also going to see Ezra Bridger and Sabine Wren, and then I saw a really wild hair. We're going to see Kanan Jarrus. I was like, wait a second, that might be kind of hard to pull off.
You do get to see him in the Clone Wars in this season 7. He's an Easter egg, if you know. They're having a Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Have I had a chance to see him yet?
You've not had a chance to see him yet, but okay, look good. For him. Look for him. See, I didn't notice it the first time I'd watched this episode of Clone Wars either, but then I went back and watched him. Like, oh, there he is. Him and his master are on a hologram call with the Jedi Council when they say that Dooku is attacking Coruscant.
Oh, okay.
And he's standing there with his master, and it's like, we're dispatching Jedi to the Outer Rim, but because they're all out on the Outer Rim, we need people to come in and help defend Coruscant. And him and his master were one of the ones on that communication.
That's cool.
And you see him as a little Padawan just standing there.
I can't wait. So I'll catch up to that one here soon then, because I just, like I was telling you earlier, I'm in the second of the three story arc with Ahsoka by herself.
It's good because that first episode, about halfway through, takes place an hour before Revenge of the Sith starts.
Oh, wow. So they're, like, cutting this down to literally ending with the beginning of Revenge of the Sith. Like, it would be literally something where you would basically end Clone Wars and then just, boom, turn on Star Wars Revenge of the Sith.
Yep, that's what they were going for because they're...
That's awesome.
They're talking, and Anakin says, well, how long do we have before we get to Coruscant? And Obi-Wan said, well, going at light speed, we'll be there within the hour.
That is awesome. Because Revenge of the Sith is probably one of the best starts.
Yes.
And, you know, I think back to what I was saying earlier about how, you know, Rise of Skywalker, the pacing was really hard to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Revenge of the Sith was just like that, though.
It was. You had to watch it multiple times.
I mean, you start with the space battle. There's no slow fuse like, you know, R2-D2 and C-3PO working their way to Jabba's palace, or, you know, Han and Luke out in the snow trying to set up boundary markers and stuff like that. There's no slow fuse.
You go straight into it.
It's just boom action, you know.
Well, actually,
that's not how Empire Strikes Back starts. I'm sorry. It starts.
It plays into that. Oh, it's so good. Like, I'm like, oh, man. So you could watch the hour and 30 minutes or however long these last three episodes of Clone Wars are and then go straight into Revenge of the Sith.
I will probably do that.
Because Obi-Wan even says, he says, we'll be there within the hour. We may already get to our fighters before we get there, Anakin.
Now, but we're not on the last episode yet. Or is the last episode not focused on Anakin and
It's not focused on Anakin and Obi-Wan, they said, which I'm okay with.
Do you think apparently, they'll get any subtle, like, maybe arriving and then just having to get out and fly, and that'll be how it ends?
That may be. I've also heard that these last episodes take place throughout Revenge of the Sith, but from different points of view.
Oh.
Like Ahsoka.
Well, I mean, it is the Clone Wars, and Revenge of the Sith is still, you know, the Clone Wars don't officially end until...
Order 66.
Until Order 66, so yeah. Oh, yeah. They're... Yeah. Well, I mean, the Siege of Mandalore goes all the way up to Order 66.
And apparently, from what I've read, they say that there will be parts of the Clone Wars where Ahsoka sees Anakin become Darth Vader, that she sees the slaughter at the temple.
Hmm. I find that hard to swallow simply because of Rebels.
Yeah, I do too. But that goes on to I don't know. I mean, I don't know, because they say Anakin Skywalker died on Mustafar, which, you know, technically, if we want to get into specifics, yeah, he did. But I don't know, like, nobody knew who Darth Vader was when he was in his suit.
That's true.
And that may be why the confusion with, well, who is he? I sense my master, but I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting. What's really fascinating is how, and this is just me talking about this, our time went out, by the way, but that doesn't really matter. When does it ever matter?
Yeah.
But we started talking about The Mandalorian, and we've already transitioned into Clone Wars, but what's fascinating with that is how much they've bridged. The one thing you can say about the new Disney canon, especially, again, when Dave Filoni in particular has his hand in it, is how easily they meld together. How much they have tried to connect, not just connect the dots subtly, but to make it to where you could literally bridge these elements. And that's one of the things they did with Rise of Skywalker and The Mandalorian, too.
Yes.
With Baby Yoda, you know, the child healing the Mandalorian using the Force. The Magic Hands, and then to turn right around and have that appear in The Rise of Skywalker and thus go, oh, okay, that's more believable because I saw The Mandalorian.
And
I mean, there were so many elements of The Mandalorian that I loved. I loved the Rebel Shock Trooper. I loved...
Yeah.
The whole, you know, there were some episodes that were a whole lot like, you know, watching The Last Samurai or something like that. Some attempt at, I mean, there were some ties to the Clone Wars even with that, you know, with the Shock Trooper, I can't remember her name. The Shock Trooper and Mando training the village to fight for themselves and stuff. I mean,
yeah, that was one of my favorite early episodes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then one of my former students, I remember we were going down to the Robbinsville State Championships back in December. For the football team, and he was like, dude, you've got to watch the most recent episode of The Mandalorian. So I downloaded it before while we had Wi-Fi on the bus, and then I watched it downloaded, and it was the one where it was like the prison break.
That one's a pretty good one. Like,
that's
really
good. It has no real deep connection from what I can tell to the rest of the overall plot, but it's really good, and it's kind of like psychological thriller a little bit, you know. It's got some intense moments there where you're almost scared of the Mandalorian instead of rooting for him.
He reminded me a lot of Batman in that one, just like how he was here, he was there, he was like playing on their fears. And then apparently Bill Burr, the guy who was the Imperial sharpshooter, which I thought was hilarious, where he's like, he was an Imperial sharpshooter, and a Mandalorian's like, those two don't go together.
That's funny.
But he's apparently supposed to come back for an episode in season two, so that gang of criminals are supposed to be back, or at least he is.
Well, I'd like to see that, you know, because again, that was kind of a one-shot, but then again, you know, there were a lot of elements of that one and the third episode, which is the one where he kind of builds up the town to defend itself, those were kind of standalone episodes. They didn't really fit into the larger story arc, but if I know writers, there's no useless episode.
No.
There's something there that's going to come back up. And that's the kind of material that I like. You know, I like it when you're watching and all of a sudden you're just like, whoa, you brought back... I mean, Dave Filoni did that with the whales or the space whales or whatever in Rebels.
Yeah.
And you thought that was such a throwaway episode. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see it in the season finale and it's like... Or series finale, rather, and it was just like, whoa, that's amazing. What a great way to make something that seemed like such a throwaway episode suddenly become so important to the overall story arc.
I agree. I don't think there's a bad episode of The Mandalorian.
Oh, I don't think any of them are bad. I think
they all have
fantastic
importance in some way, shape, or fashion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I thoroughly enjoyed them. It was a great series to watch, and I'm very sad that it was only 8 episodes long and that it's already over, but I'm already, you know, we're already most of the way through spring and, you know, just on the cusp of the beginning of summer here by the time this releases. Fall's coming. So is Mandalorian Season 2.
Yay! And Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
Man, Carl Weathers was awesome.
Oh,
I loved his character.
He did great. And the whole thing at the end when you had the two scout troopers that were fighting over the child.
Yeah.
And arguing about him, and they punched him and stuff like that. That was Oh, that was so funny. There were so many moments. It was just well written, well designed. The Mandalorian did a great job. They knocked it out of the park. And we've already talked about Clone Wars and how it ties in and how it's we've got so much to look forward to with it. I'm so thrilled with the Star Wars media that we have gotten in the past few months. I mean, it's just, it's been truly awesome.
I know. And then the announcements, you know, that they're going to focus on the time before the Republic and all that.
That's right. The High Republic announcement. Yeah. I don't remember who I was talking to about this. It might have been that former student, Luke. But one of the things that I find really interesting about this High Republic era is there's one other consideration that I'm hoping Disney is taking into account here. How old is Yoda when he dies?
Is he 900 or 950? I can't remember.
He's 900. This new High Republic focus is taking place how many years before the Phantom Menace?
Oh, is it 1,000 or 2,000? I can't remember.
It's only 200.
Oh, 200. So Yoda could
Yoda is alive.
A young Yoda.
Yoda would be in his heyday. So we might get a chance to see like Yoda as a, quote, young Jedi, especially with all of this preparation that we're getting from Mandalorian about how, you know, different species age at different rates, and it took 50 years for baby Yoda, quotes, to be still what we would have considered an infant. So we're looking at Yoda at approximately what? So let's see. If he died at 900, the entire spectrum from Phantom Menace to the end of the Return of the Jedi was probably about 30 years. So that would have been 850. Then you subtract 200, you see, be in his 600s.
So he would still be, well, he could still kick butt at when he was in the Clone Wars.
I would say he'd be an early, like a middle-aged adult. You know, he'd probably be in his 40s, maybe, 30s or 40s, you know.
That's interesting.
Comparison. So I'm like, hey, all right, we're gonna be seeing like a Qui-Gon Jinn era Yoda. Now that would be really interesting.
That would be cool.
I would love, and you know, Disney's got to have thought about it. Like, otherwise, why would we be seeing the child in the Mandalorian? I mean, there's so many ways where I can sit there and go, with all the way things are tied and interconnected right now, it would not surprise me that they are trying to prepare the audiences for, hey, we're gonna do a High Republic focus, and while Yoda might not be the primary character, because we're going to introduce a whole lot of new characters, Yoda's going to make some appearances, and you're going to get to see, like, not old, wise Yoda, but getting old and wise Yoda.
I'd be for that. I would get behind that.
I would love it. That would be, yeah. Oh. So I'm really hoping that that's going to be kind of at least a subtle implication, because obviously I'm pretty sure it's only 200 years. It's not 2,000.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was 200 years before.
So we're, yeah. And from what I've read, it's going to be more like a policing, space, Wild West kind of focus, with the Jedi being the sheriff.
That makes sense. They were kind of police before the Clone Wars. They were there, keepers of the peace. So
exactly. So I'm genuinely interested to see where this goes. And there looks, and let's see, that kind of sets up the whole element of Project Luminos, which is what we were asking about.
Yeah.
Hoping to ask about with Kevin Scott and stuff like that. So now that that's been released, I'm looking forward to perhaps digging a little bit deeper into that too.
Good stuff going on right
it's
now.
It's gonna be great. Yeah. Man, oh, got me excited.
I know. I'm excited for season two of The Mandalorian. I'm ready for that to get started.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I want it to happen now. But I'm also, you know, the Cash and Andor series is supposed to release this year sometime.
That's true. I forgot about that one. That ought to be a good one, too.
I look forward to that. Anything tying into Rogue One will be good.
So. All this stuff's going to tie together, and it's going to be one big, huge story with everybody, and we're going to be like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the original point of all the spinoffs, was to make them all be spinoffs, yes, but they could all be interconnected with subtle, kind of like your Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you had a little subtle hint here, a little subtle hint there, and then, oh, look, we can bring it all together for a movie. Oh, and then back away, and little something here, a little... I think Star Wars could totally do that. I mean, the galaxy is a big place.
It is.
And that kind of stuff excites people like me very easily.
Oh, me too. Oh, more yeah. Baby Yoda. That's what I've been told by my wife, is more Baby Yoda.
Is that what she was saying in the background?
That's what she said. She said, more Baby Yoda. I don't have control over how much they use Baby Yoda, but okay.
We would love to see the same.
I was just shocked when they revealed him.
Yes, me too. Oh, my gosh. That was such a big, just, oh, that was great.
I'm like, what? That's a Baby Yoda! No way!
Well, so did the entire Star Wars fan base. My favorite scene with Baby Yoda, well, maybe not my favorite, but definitely one of them, is when the Mando and the Shock Trooper are fighting.
Yeah.
And Baby Yoda just walks out there and he's like sipping his soup.
Yeah, he's just like, what's going on?
How you doing? What's happening? you probably shouldn't be doing this. And it's just like, you know what? You just made my day, man. I don't know how you did it, but you did it.
I'm ready for a Mandalorian to claim me as a family.
I'm actually expecting it. I don't know how they put a helmet on him, though.
Here, foundling, put a helmet on and fly away with me. Okay.
We're going to have to cut some holes in that helmet for your ears. But otherwise, we'll be all right. You'll be the first non-humanoid Mandalorian.
He would be a Mandalorian that could use the Force.
Well, he's not the first.
He wouldn't be the first.
It's true. The Darksaber would be rightfully his, theoretically.
Yep. I was going to say the Darksaber and ruling Mandalore would be his.
Oh, my gosh. So many different ways you could take this story. Oh, yeah.
Makes you think.
Makes you dream.
Yeah, exactly.
I've thoroughly enjoyed this.
I have too. This has been fun. This has been good for my mental health, and I feel refreshed.
Mine too. This has been really good. But unfortunately, whether I want to or not, I am going to have to go back to work.
No, you don't. Don't do it.
Well, I have to clock at least one more hour today to be done for the day, so...
Don't do it. Claim you're a Jedi, and then you won't have to pay taxes.
We actually do have some listener feedback that is way out of date, and it's a phone call from a student of mine, and an email, I think, from a student of mine. I got a couple of different things that we need to go over, so I will try to bring that up in our next episode, which will hopefully be within the next few weeks, not the next, several months.
Well, you know, that makes me worry about the flip side of that now. Do the Sith have to pay taxes? I mean, are they a religious order like the Jedi, except they're the bad parts of that religion?
Well, that would explain why Palpatine didn't have to worry about paying for the Death Star.
That's true. I've always wondered how they paid for that thing. I mean, yeah, I know he was a dictator and a tyrant. He could just say, give me that stuff now. But
or even all of the entire Sith fleet from Rise of Skywalker. I mean, can you imagine the property tax on that?
Just the taxes alone would be enough to fund an entire planet, probably.
The vehicle taxes. Excuse me, I have about 6,000 ships, all with planet destroy capabilities on them. How much is that going to run for an insurance premium? Man.
Yeah, I need to get all those inspected and get the tags renewed, please.
How much is that going to run me? Oh, man, how much would it run me if I promised not to blow up your planet?
I think we could get a freebie for that, just, not blowing your business up.
just a one-year waiver. COVID-19's really hurting me right now.
Don't have to pay on any of your vehicles that you have in your fleet for 1 year. Palpatine Motors will not allow you to pay for
Palpatine
that.
Palpatine Motors.
Palpatine Motor Company. PMC.
Oh, there you go.
I'll take a PMC Death Star.
Who needs Henry Ford when you have Sheev Palpatine?
He is the Senate.
I am the Senate.
I could just imagine the tagline, buy a Palpatine Motors vehicle. Do it! Do it now! Well, he drives a hard bargain. I mean, I guess I gotta listen to him.
Yeah, those dark side mental manipulation capabilities. I was just going to go look, I promise. And I came back with 6 ships. I don't know how I'm going to pay the mortgage or pay the monthly bill. It's going to be... He just told me to do it. Do it now. So I did it.
I could see the little sign outside of his dealership, do it now. And then on the flip side, it says, come on in. We're the dark side. We have cookies, all that kind of thing. It's like, well, you do get complimentary cookies while your ship's being serviced, so I can get behind that.
Yeah, free oil changes.
Free oil changes for life until we blow your planet up.
There you go.
And then they just repossess the ship back from you and add it to their fleet.
Exactly, so that they can destroy the next planet.
I can just see all the people. Uh-oh, the repo men are here. There goes the planet. Better get off before it blows up.
There goes the planet. Oh, there goes another one. Roll them up, ladies and gentlemen, roll them up.
Palpatine repo man, don't mess around.
Oh my goodness. Well, there's some good blooper reel material.
There's some great blooper reel. And things to think about, do evil people have to pay taxes like the Sith?
Exactly. And more importantly, since we're stuck in this quarantine, how would the Empire respond to COVID-19?
Oh, they'd just blow the planet up where it originated. I mean, they've got planet-destroying weapons. They're just like, well, for the good of the Empire.
We have a case on Alderaan. Gone. Oh, we have a case on Yavin. Gone. Oh, there's a hint of a case on Kajimi. All right. Gone. I think we've solved the problem, ladies and gentlemen. If any more pop up, just let us know.
And, like, the high-ranking Sith wouldn't have to worry about it. They always have, like, respirators or masks on.
Yeah, or if you ever get the chance. Or did you ever read the two zombie books by Joe Schreiber?
Oh, Red Harvest.
Red Harvest. Yeah. Dr. Stavros.
I have read part of those.
Or Darth Stavros.
Yeah, I've read part of those. I've not read them all the way through, though.
That one's really the prequel to the Death Troopers one.
They would have an army of COVID troopers. It's like, oh, so
you're
going to
resist the
Empire,
kill you,
huh?
They'll infect you.
If you're going to resist the Empire, huh? Well, we'll send the COVID troopers as kind of a warning shot.
Biological.
If that doesn't persuade them, then send in the full-fledged stormtroopers.
Oh, man. Things got bad. Those respirators block out toxins. They block out noxious air, but they don't block out toxins. So we just need to put the poison in the air. We'll kill them out. All right. Thanks, fam. Appreciate the heads up.
Oh, there would be some way for COVID-19 to be killed in the Star Wars universe. There'd be like some kind of UV light they shine on you. Okay, you're good.
I'm sure Bactus cures even that. I'll just throw you in the Bacta tank for about 15 minutes. You'll be good to go.
It clears your body out of everything. Yeah.
It's like the best detox ever.
We'd have celebrities going to Bacta detox centers.
I need some more Bacta.
I need more Bacta. You don't understand. I'm back on heroin again.
Not true.
It's the only thing that can clean me out.
No, that would be a colonoscopy.
I have to go back to the... What was it? It wasn't the refresher. That was their showers. I can't think of what they called it. The back
tube.
The back tube. Yeah, sir, you got to go to the back tube for that.
Oh, man. Well,
this episode's went into the back tube real fast.
This is going to be a lot of fun to edit in like 6 weeks. No, I'll try to edit it here soon. Maybe I'll have some time this week.
No worries. We're home for the foreseeable future.
Yes, that's true. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's safe to say, Landon, that we do need to discern what type of blue milk are we going to leave this episode with today.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, with all the sickness going around, maybe we need to have like a Flintstones vitamin-flavored blue milk.
But it has to be the purple ones.
The purple? Oh, yeah. It can't. The purple ones were first. The cherry ones were kind of my number two. And then the orange ones were number three. I didn't really care for the orange.
They were like chalk.
They really were. Okay, we'll go with a purple Flintstone vitamin blue milk.
All right.
Just to keep our health up.
Got to keep your health up, ladies and gentlemen. We at Star Wars Ties are here telling you to stay home, stay safe, and take your Flintstone vitamins in your blue milk.
That's right.
So, without further ado, thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for listening to us talk a little bit about Rise of Skywalker, The Mandalorian, and Clone Wars, what we've been up to since November as far as Star Wars is concerned, and hopefully we'll be able to jump in a little bit more in the next few weeks and get some more quarantine binge episodes recorded and released so that you guys have something to listen to while you're stuck at home and we have something to record while we're stuck at home. So, until then, we hope that you will enjoy a deliciously healthy purple Flintstone vitamin-flavored blue milk. May the Force be with you.
Oh, Flintstone vitamins.
Oh, Flintstone vitamins. Oh, I wasn't expecting that one.
Well, I was trying to think of something healthy. I'm like, wait a minute, they're telling you to take vitamins and be healthy. How about Flintstone vitamins?
Flintstone. Yeah. Flintstone. Meet the Flintstones. Hey, you're modern age man. Can you imagine what the Flintstones would be like if they'd met the Star Wars universe? Not the Jetsons, like the Flintstones and Jetsons special, which was really good, by the way.
That wasn't bad. I liked that one.
But the Flintstones, like Fred Flintstone versus Darth Vader.
Dude, Fred would just get that big club and start trying to beat on him.
No, he'd throw Bam Bam at him. Quick, Barney, give me Bam Bam. Bam! 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 Bam!
And Vader would try to use the Force on him and it wouldn't work.
No, of course not.
Because he is a force of nature.
Yes, he is. Or Dino.
It'd lick him so much his suit would short, his little electronic suit would short out.
Short out and he'd die. That'd be, would solve the problem.
Death by Dino.
There we go.
Hey, I don't know what's going on with my Skype. It is acting weird.
Yeah, when is Skype not acting weird?
Ah, no. It's this thing, we don't pay anything for it, and it acts just like a program you don't pay anything for.
So true. Not responding. Come on now. Respond. I need you to record. There we go. Recording started. Ooh, hey.
Oh, I see you. Yeah. I don't have a webcam, but you don't want to see me. I'm pretty ugly.
You're not ugly. That's really close to my face. I'm going back. I'm going to actually get back. Wow, that's really close.
Don't look at me.
If you just bear with us, listeners, as we take a to shop for a book. No, it's not. Dang it, I thought it was.
Boo.
Sorry, I lied. Well, anyway. Well, what do you want to do today, man?
I don't care. I'll leave it up to you. I'm just happy to be talking to another adult.
Yeah, hey, man, talking Star Wars. Well, let's just do an X-Wing in an episode where we just kind of shoot the breeze. And let's talk a little bit about Rise of Skywalker and Mandalorian, because those two things have, the last thing we were talking about before we ended all this. And, of course, they've been out since then, so we can do that. And then we'll do a little bit of check-in on what we've been up to lately. And then that'll probably take a good amount of time. I'll put my timer on for 35, 40 minutes or so, and that should probably do it.
Have you been watching season 7 of Clone Wars?
Yes, but I'm not caught up to it. Like I'm in the episode where Trace and Ahsoka and her sister, I can't remember the older sister's name.
Rafa
or whatever, are getting the first load of spice loaded onto that's so it's like episode 5 maybe 4 or 5
you've
five, episode 5
you've got a few more to go. You'll like the way that they do the last 3, because they're on the last 3 of the season right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're finishing up the arc. I know I've seen lots of posts about how they're closing up the arc and bridging this gap to basically it's going to end right at the beginning of Revenge of the Sith.
The beginning of it plays just like Revenge of the Sith, where it's like Lucasfilm limited production, and then it does like the Star Wars and the crawl, and it kind of opens up like it's its own mini movie before Revenge of the Sith happened.
That's cool. See, I'm looking forward to that. I just haven't, like I said, I usually watch it when I run on the treadmill. And I don't know how it happened, but I started one late or something, so I only got half an episode in on one of my runs. So I'm like, I get an episode, I finish an episode and start half of another episode in my running cycle. And some days lately, especially when the weather's nice, we don't run on the treadmill. We go to the track here in Swain County and actually exercise outside. Shocker, but you know, if the weather's nice, I want to get outside. I don't like running on a treadmill.
I don't blame you. We've done the same thing. We've got out and walked on the walking trails, played Pokemon paths. Go and
picked that up. I literally started that in quarantine, which is a horrible time to start Pokemon Go because there are no Pokemon that live near my house.
So I'm sorry.
Unless I like light incense or whatever it is, I don't get any Pokemon. So, which is inconvenient because, you know, it's not like I go very far, but anytime I'm riding in the car, you know, it's like, hey, slow down at this red light. You know, I'm going to try to catch Pokemon at this intersection.
Hey, hold on just a minute. Just stay a little bit longer. There's nobody behind us.
Yeah, stuff like that. So, all right, let's check in and let's go ahead and just get started.
Sweet.
That way we're officially on the clock here. And maybe I doubt Rob will chime in, but if he does, we'll be ready for him.
That's right.
Gosh, it's been so long since I've done this.
You can do it.
I can do this. Roe, good lord.
Roe.
What do you think of that quarantine binge picture I sent you?
Ooh, let's see.
That Darth Vader.
Oh, I love that. I thought that was cool because that's what I was doing when you sent that to me. I was just laid back watching TV.
Well, I figured, I mean, I had a lot of fun with it. And then I threw some Easter eggs in it, so you got to see if you can see them. Of course, you got Star Wars on the TV screen.
Yep.
If you look to the left, that's a Rebel Lego helmet.
Oh, I see that.
And if you actually look, that is Coruscant in the window.
Oh, cool. I see that. Aw, that's cool. I like the little Easter eggs in it.
Yeah, I had fun with that. That was so... That was me doing Barbies, and then after Barbies, I was like, you know what, why don't you go get the Star Wars figures, and let's play around them for a little bit. And I
like it.
I did that, so.
I like it. I like their ultra-modern living room they're in.
That is my daughter's Barbie house.
Their awesome fireplace.
And I was like, this is totally 70s, which fits, because 77, you know, Star Wars.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's right there.
Right there, yeah. Rocked it out.
Yeah, I like it.
Part of the reason I want to get the episode edited is so I can be like, hey, check this out. I want to share this picture with you, too.
I like it.
All right, Landon. Well, I'll talk to you later, bud.
All right, man. Hang in there.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks.
Hey, Darth Vader in that black and evil mask. Did he scare you as much as he scared me? Star Wars! Those near and far wars, my seventh winner up here, Star Wars!